Have you ever wondered what happens to evidence at the end of a criminal investigation or trial? Sometimes material is destroyed, other times it sits in the vaults, and some ends up in very unexpected places. Catherine Biber is a professor of law at the University of Technology in Sydney. She told Damien Carrick that sometimes evidence can have either very noble or very troubling afterlife.
A lot of criminal evidence is made by police investigators for the purpose of the criminal investigation. And at the end of those proceedings, it returns to the police and it's managed in accordance with whatever protocols or policies police have for the management of that material. And that's fine. But a lot of evidentiary material was somebody's personal property to begin with. And so at the end of proceedings, that material is usually returned to those people and it's really up to them what they want to do with their personal property. Those are instances where criminal evidence, for example, in the Chamberlain case, led an unexpected afterlife because it was returned to the Chamberlains and they made a decision, an interesting and unusual decision, to donate their evidentiary materials to national collecting institutions. Sometimes evidence has an unexpected life. So, for instance, George Zimmerman, who was the person who shot a young African-American teenager called Trayvon Martin with a firearm, and he was ultimately acquitted of homicide. That firearm was returned to him, and he then auctioned it on an American gun auction website. He marketed that in order to get the highest possible price as one of the kind of icons in some kind of racist struggle that he believed he was participating in. And that weapon sold for a large amount of money, much more than its market value, because of its past life as a piece of criminal evidence. And also sometimes evidence slips out into the world. You know, there are lots of, I would say, illicit collections. Retired police detectives have often kept souvenirs or trophies, or sometimes they've taken materials into their own personal property because they think that they are going to be better custodians of it than police record keeping practices. But certainly I've encountered a number of instances where, for instance, after the death of a retired police detective, their families are left with all of this evidentiary material, which was improper for them to have kept and taken home. And what are they going to do with the contents of Uncle Barry's garage, which is now full of criminal evidence? What can be done with it? And some of this material you will now find, for instance, traded on the internet. There are people who sell historical crime scene photographs that have come from a private detective's collection.
It's extraordinary. Professor Catherine Biber from UTS Law School speaking with Damien Carrick. And you can hear that interview about the unexpected and sometimes disturbing use of discarded criminal evidence on the Law Report with Damien at 5:30 this afternoon after PM. It's also available as a podcast anytime, of course, on the ABC Listen app.